Say, hey, looky here. This is Sleepy Brian Gardner coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramblin' Towers, recently redecorated dungeon studio in scenic Hespel, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode 123. Ramblin' Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. So be sure to go to ramblinradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I may happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblin' Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, for any reason really, pick up the recently, the just today released version of What Is and What Should Never Be, getting the new Taylor Swift, whatever you're doing, pop over to Ramblin' Radio, leave a star, leave 3 stars, leave 5 stars, leave a review, rate us and review us, and it helps other people to find us. It helps other people, it shows that we show up on the iTunes on their algorithms, and it just helps other people find Ramblin' Radio. You can find us at you can find Ramblin' Radio at Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen in on Spreaker, Spreaker.com, and be sure to follow Ramblin' Radio on Spreaker and also now on Stitcher Radio. So you can listen to us in your car, wherever you happen to be. Stream us on Stitcher. Also, check out Ramblin' Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramblin' Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramblin' Blog on Twitter. So that was, the intro was something, oh boy, what's the name of the song? It's something else. An old Eddie Cochran song. That is from January, what's the date? January 20? Anyway, it's Jimmy Page's birthday, January 9th, I'm guessing, Royal Albert Hall, in 1970. And, let me see if I can find it here really quickly, the date. I think it's January 9th. A bootleg out there called The Initial Tapes, and I happened to stumble across that this week, and it was interesting that something else was on it, because... You know, up until the BBC sessions was the only that I knew of that they had something else, but I'd never really paid attention to it before. So here it turns up in this, and probably other ones from the era. I'm going to talk in length and detail about the songs that turn up on the BBC sessions and nothing else today. Matter of fact, I've done something completely different today, and we'll see how it works. But I'm thinking I'm going to do this once every third or fourth podcast, and that is I have written out quite a lengthy piece that I'm basically going to be reading to you more than just off the cuffing, and I've done my research, I've done my due diligence, and try and tell you the story. The idea is to pull up some stories, provide more detail on something maybe you knew about but didn't know much about. I got a few ideas for other ones. And we'll see how this one goes, but it's a little off the normal what we do, but it's similar. It's going to be a theme and just more detailed. And this one will be on the four tracks that appear in the BBC sessions that otherwise don't appear in the Led Zeppelin canon. And that is Something Else, the Eddie Cochran song, The Girl I Love, She Got Long Black Wavy Hair, Traveling Riverside Blues, and Sunshine Woman, which was just released about 2 weeks ago on iTunes. You can get on iTunes right now, you can get What Is What Should Never Be. It was previewed on the usual sites, Guardian and Rolling Stone and whatnot, yesterday. And what happens is the next day they release it on iTunes for digital download. If you've pre-ordered the album, the entire thing, you've got it. But you can also just go buy it as a single. And we've got Communication Breakdown, Sunshine Woman, and What Is and What Should Never Be Today. All from the third disc, the bonus disc. This is all previously unreleased stuff. Which, of course, a week from today will be released stuff. All of it. Right across the board. And yeah, so I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to that in a minute. So Keith Harwood, in history, this date in history, and on the 3rd of September, 1977, engineer Keith Harwood, who engineered, I think, physical graffiti, but there was others. He died in a car crash after leaving a session with the Rolling Stones. Also on the 3rd, in 1983, Robert Plant's first single, Big Log, enters the U.S. singles charts. The 5th of September, 1969, French TV show Tout Ainsi was broadcast, recorded on June 19th of 1969. So around the time of the BBC sessions, they also broadcast this French TV show. On the 6th, 1988, Jimmy Page launched his Outrider tour, his first and I think only solo tour in the U.S. Also on the 6th, 20 years later, 2008, he came up here to Toronto for the International Film Festival, which is going on right now, which makes sense because it's first week in September, world premiere of It Might Get Loud. On the 7th in 1968, so going backwards 40 years from the 2008 date, is the first show ever at the Gladsax Teen Club in Denmark. If you look up Angel Romero, you'll find pictures from that day. I think it's Jorgen Angel, sorry. Angel Romero. He was a pitcher, I think. Jorgen Angel. Look up photographer Jorgen Angel. He has pictures of that, and I have on my wall a poster of about, I'm going to say it's 25 pictures he took that day. He just happened to be, he was a kid with a camera, and he went on to become a professional music photographer, but that day he was just a kid with a camera who shot a roll of this otherwise unheard band first ever show. On the 11th of September 1980, Led Zeppelin announced details of their 1980 North American tour, Led Zeppelin the 80s Part 1. On the 12th in 1980, Jimmy Page and John Bonham record Bonzo's Montreux at the studio in Montreux Casino. And on the 12th as well, 2007, they announced the O2 show. My favorite, kind of my favorite Led Zeppelin story since I've been doing this podcast, the 15th of September, 2011, Missouri man George F. Blackburn changes his name to Led Zeppelin 2. And that would be, by the way, the late Led Zeppelin 2. Please ignore the crazy dog bouncing around over my head. I redecorated the studio. I did not soundproof the roof of the studio. So that's where I'm at. Yeah. All right, I mentioned that What Is and What Should Never Be was released. It's the third song released from the bonus disc of the BBC Sessions. And we're a week away from those being released. So you can imagine what next week's podcast is going to be about. This is a Friday. I won't do a, probably sometime next weekend, I will dig into talking about the BBC Sessions themselves, especially the bonus disc, I guess. Jason Bonham's back out with Led Zeppelin Experience, or at least going back out. There's been some shows announced, a New York show. I don't have the dates as of yet, and I don't think they have completed the dates. It sounds like they have about 7 or 8 shows announced. Usually they get higher than that, get up around 15 or 16 or 20. So we'll see if what else comes, probably in the next week, probably, or something. I'll talk a little more detail when I have more detail. But I believe the Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience is back out on the road, and they're just keep on doing what they do. And finally, Jeff Strawman's book, Led Zeppelin Gear, ships in 2-3 weeks. Let me do the quick math. 15 days, so 14 days, Friday, yeah. September 26th. The book is called Led Zeppelin Gear. And it's late. It's late by quite a while. Last year, early this year, so I'm trying to remember now the details, but it was around the time it was discovered that Jimmy Page's guitar, the Black Beauty that was stolen, slash went missing in 1970, was restored to him. He got it back. And I contacted Jeff, and he had been in contact with people about his book, and there was much talk about the book and whatnot. And I contacted Jeff about having him on the show to talk about this guitar, kind of mental listing him as an expert on the gear. So he'd come on and tell us a little bit about the guitar and maybe what he knew about how it had been found. And he said yes. And a day later, or 2 days later, I got a hold of him to get a date. And he said, sorry, something's come up. Politely, like, I have no issues with it, but it was, something just came up at work. I'm going to be busy for a while. I don't think I'm going to have time for this. And Jeff dropped off the radar completely. And some people who had bought his book on the promise that it was coming last fall were trying to were upset, because they've been trying to contact him and stuff, and we're getting, he really went off the radar. This was witness protection stuff. So he wasn't answering these emails. So some people were getting upset. Myself, I just kind of decided to sit back and wait, because I knew that, it wasn't my position to say. I'd listen to people relax, but it was also, I get that you try to do something like this, and then life gets really busy on you, and it can be really hard to even think about it. You know, it just gets buried, and that happens. That happens when what you do is a hobby, interests other people, so anyway, Jeff's back. The book is coming. He is saying it's going to ship on the 26th of September. And I will do everything I can to get Jeff on the show to talk about the book. I'm really looking forward to this book. It's called Led Zeppelin Gear. And it's all about the guitars they played and so on and so forth. All right, which brings us to the theme of the show, to the topic of the show. The topic of today's show is the songs that appeared, that they performed, Led Zeppelin performed for the BBC radio broadcasts, that they never otherwise released. To me, this is a remarkable kind of thing when you stop and think about it. These guys, I'm going off script already, but I will get back. I will get to the script right away. But this is, it's just remarkable that they get a chance to be on the BBC, they get a chance to be on the radio, and they play stuff they've never played. They improvise a song, pull it out of the air, or they play something they've never otherwise played before. Not even something that's been part of their live shows in some cases, just something they did. Or played songs that nobody know, play songs that, you know, just really remarkable. You get on the radio, it's one thing to say, we played in the middle of a show, we threw this in. It's another thing to say in the middle of a show on live radio, we threw this in. And it says a lot about the band, the way, especially in the early days, the way they kind of went for it. It says a lot about the era, the time in pop rock music, when bands could do that sort of thing and were comfortable doing that sort of thing. And I'm willing to bet Led Zeppelin weren't the only ones who did that. Although I couldn't verify that one way or the other. All right, so here's what we have. BBC in Britain, the British Broadcasting Corporation, is a government-owned broadcaster. Until 1973, it was the only, repeat this again, until 1973, it was the only licensed broadcaster in the UK. There were, however, pirate radio stations. There was a period from 1964 to 1968 where pirate radio stations were broadcasting from ships in international waters. Pirate radio stations, by the way, are unlicensed radio stations. The airwaves are considered a public resource, and you have to have a license to use it. This is true in Canada. This is true in the United States. This is true in Britain. But these ships could sit offshore in international waters and broadcast into Britain, and this is what they were doing. After the pirate radio period, quote unquote, 1964 to 68, the BBC actually made a concentrated effort to be more youth-oriented in its programming. It was a very stuffy, staid, classical. If you're a classical music fan, some of the greatest performances of all time appeared on BBC Radio in the 50s and 40s and 60s. And classical musicians, British classical musicians, got a real leg up by performing in the BBC. But not so much with the rock music. Now, the pirate radio ships broadcast pop and FM-style radio into Britain. Significantly, Radio Caroline and Radio London. The latter, Radio London, immortalized in The Clash's London Calling, and the former in the movie Pirate Radio. These ships and stations were legal in 1964 when Radio Caroline, the first of them, hit the airwaves, because they were broadcasting outside Britain's maritime boundary. By 1965, the stations had an audience of 10 to 15 million listeners and garnered £2 million worth of advertising. The Maritime Broadcasting Act of 1967 made the stations illegal, and the BBC made an attempt to fill the void. Before moving on to what the BBC did, one last point about pirate radio stations. After making it illegal to broadcast from offshore pirate radio, after making it illegal to broadcast from offshore, pirate radio came onshore. See the hitches behind reading instead of just talking? A small transmitter on a fairly high urban building can have quite a broadcast range. A 40-watt transmitter broadcasting from a roof of a 15-story tower block powered by a car battery could reach a 40-mile radius. So radio operators would pre-record a show at home on a portable cassette player and broadcast it from the rooftop. Finding such a small transmitter in a fairly dense urban environment can be challenging for authorities. And even if found, and there were many raids carried out to stop these radio stations, all you would net on your raid is a small transmitter and a tape player. There was nobody to arrest, and the transmitters weren't that expensive. By the mid-70s, certainly well into the 80s, they weren't very expensive and were home-makeable. There are still approximately 150 pirate radio stations broadcasting in England today. Today, in the day of podcasting and all that, there's still people with transmitters on roofs pushing out illegal radio shows. This brings us back to the BBC. In 1967, BBC reorganized their stations, combining some and creating a new one, BBC One, which was a pop music station. So whenever you hear about BBC One show this, that, BBC One was the pop music radio show, station. Tony Blackburn, who worked for Radio Caroline, was hired and created the first morning show on BBC One. They went to these pirate radio stations and got the talent, in other words. Another person who worked for Radio London, a disc jockey called John Peel, was also hired. Peel's Radio 1 show was one of its most popular and became notable for its regular Peel sessions, that's in quotes, Peel sessions, which usually consisted of four songs recorded by an artist live on the BBC studios. Led Zeppelin would twice perform in John Peel's shows in 1969, on March 3rd and June 7th. Led Zeppelin, in fact, performed five times in BBC programming between March 1969 and April 1971. March 3rd, they appeared in John Peel's Top Gear, which is a Radio 1 session. And when I say which was a Radio 1 session, I mean one of these sessions with the four songs performed live. Although I can't verify off the top of my head, they did four and they might have done three or five. But they were close to that in these sessions, I know that. And I think it was four. March 19, 1969, on Alexis Corner's Rhythm and Blues. On June 16th, Chris Grant's Tasty Pop Sunday aired on... They performed on June 16th, aired on June 22nd. And by the way, Tasty Pop Sunday, Sunday is S-U-N-D-A-E, like the, like a ice cream sundae. Although I'm guessing it's also a Sunday show, and it's a little play. On June 27th, they played at Playhouse Theater, which was broadcast live. On June 24th, again on John Peel's Top Gear for a Radio 1 session. And on April 1st, 1971, a much larger concert, Radio 1 in concert at the Paris Cinema London, broadcast on April 4th. And that's if you have the BBC Session CD from the last time they were released, that's Disc 2. And that's also a show that was often played. It was here in Toronto, they played it on Q107. I've heard from other people that they played a concert from BBC Sessions, and that would be the one on their local radio show, and it would be edited to 40 minutes or whatever. But it was in the late 70s, early 80s, other than the song remains the same, this was the only real live Led Zeppelin you got that was out there on the air. And it was in many ways, because they were younger, leaner, playing tighter versions of the songs. It was, it was many ways a better sounding album. They were playing Going to California, and there was no, Days of Confused was 12 minutes long, not 40 minutes long, that sort of thing. So it had its advantages over Song Remains the Same. How's that? These would have been significant performances for the band. A chance for a young, up-and-coming band to be highlighted on a national program. And yet, Zeppelin did something that seems unimaginable today. They played songs they never played before or since, or in one case, a song they played live but never recorded. On the June 16th performance of Chris Grant's Tasty Pop Sunday, they played Eddie Cochran's Something Else and Sleepy John Estes' The Girl I Love, She's Got Long Black Wavy Hair. On the second John Peel session on June 24th, they played Traveling Riverside Blues. And on the March 19th, Alexis Corner's Rhythm and Blues show, and an interview I heard today with Jimmy Page, he's doing the interview rounds now, he mentions that Alexis Corner wasn't actually hosting the show that week. But anyway, they played Sunshine Woman. Let's start with the last piece first. Alexis Corner was not just any DJ. He was a significant blues singer and guitar player. Corner is considered, and here I have quotes around the phrase, the father of British blues. In 1961, Corner and harmonica player Cyril Davies formed Blues Incorporated, a loose-knit group of musicians which shared a love of electric blues and R&B music. The group included, at various times, Charlie Watts, Jack Bruce, Ginger Baker, Long John Baldry, and Graham Bond, among many, many others. Even more significantly, perhaps, was the young fans the band influenced, some of whom occasionally would be offered a chance to come up and join the group on stage. This would include Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Brian Jones, Rod Stewart, John Mayall, and, of course, Jimmy Page. So you can imagine playing a BBC One less than 2 years after its inception on Alexis Corner's show was a big deal. And Led Zeppelin played Sunshine Woman. Depending on your source, this is either the only time Led Zeppelin played this song, or according to Led Zeppelin FAQ, occasional concert performances of this tune, this is a quote, occasional concert performances of this tune have surfaced. Well, I'm not sure which it is. I can't say I've ever noticed it before. Of the four songs, it's the one I couldn't find any, of the four songs that they did play on the BBC's, this is the one I couldn't find any entomology for. And again, from Led Zeppelin FAQ, quote, they refer to it as a groovy song. But searching the lyrics turns up very little of Robert Plant's usual borrows. There's this. My baby, when she walks, shakes just like a willow tree, which is obviously from Howlin' Wolf's Shake For Me. Got a hip-shaking woman, shake like a willow tree. That's shake, by the way, not shape. I keep tongue-twisting that one. But that's where the similarity ends with that song. There is no other even close lines between the two. It's not Howlin' Wolf, Shake For Me. Just that one line seems to be borrowed. We also get She's So Mean and Evil, She Make a Monkey Out of Me, which of course evokes hats off to Roy Harper from Led Zeppelin 3. I ain't no monkey, I can't climb no tree, no brown skinned woman gonna make no monkey out of me. I ain't no monkey, can't climb no tree. Sunshine Woman was thought lost. And this is the first official release of the song ever. It was, they thought it was gone, and Page went to some trouble, and there is actually, if you go on for badge holders only, controversy about the source they use. It's thought that they may have pulled it off a YouTube video, which is not the best source available. But there is a readily available source that is a fairly decent quality one. which they clearly didn't use. And it's from an Empress Valley release a couple of years ago. So there is some controversy on the source material, but that's neither here nor there, I guess. The Girl I Love, She Got Long Black Wavy Hair is from a Sleepy John Estes song, The Girl I Love, She Got Long Curly Hair. The lyrics are similar, but Plant takes various liberties here, as is his wont. In fact, we have Plant once again singing about shaking like a willow tree. This song, the Sleepy John Estes song, is such an uncommon song. Jimmy Page himself said in 1997 that he only discovered The Girl I Love was a copy and not original when he was putting together the BBC sessions. He had no idea it wasn't an original song. In fact, most people point to the lick of The Girl I Love, She's Got Long Black Wavy Hair, as being very similar to Moby Dick, which would be released months later on Led Zeppelin 2. And it's assumed the band was working up this song in the studio at the time, and it morphed into Moby Dick. In 1997, The Girl I Love was released as a CD single in the US and reached number 4 on Billboard's mainstream rock track chart. Before I move on, there is a Sleepy John Estes story worth mentioning. Big Bill Brunsey played in the UK in the early 60s and became a de facto authoritative voice on blues history. If asked about one of the many, many people he had performed with through the years, he would usually say, "Oh, he's dead now." Or something to that effect. "Everybody's dead" was kind of his pat answer. And in fact, it's exactly what he said in a UK interview in the 60s when asked about Sleepy John Estes. "He's dead." He wasn't dead, but blues fans for years assumed he was based on that interview. Nobody went looking for Estes. Nobody checked it. Nobody fact-checked it. And it turned out John Estes wasn't dead at all. When somebody did finally go looking for him, they found him. Traveling Riverside Blues is an old Robert Johnson number. And in fact, the original Johnson song contains the line, "Squeeze my lemon until the juice runs down my leg," which Robert Plant would later immortalize in the Lemon Song. It was recorded by Johnson in Dallas and is sometimes called Mudbone. In truth, the lyrics of the two share a little in common, the most significant being the line about going to Rosedale, take my rider by my side, which is repeated in the Johnson version. Plant only uses the Rosedale reference once, but sings of his rider throughout the song, and the rider is a reference to a girl. It's your girlfriend. Your rider is your girlfriend. Of note, Cream's Crossroads also uses the line, "Going to Rosedale, taking my rider by my side." In fact, Cream repeated the last three lines of the Johnson version twice. "I'm going to Rosedale, going to take my rider by my side. Going to Rosedale, going to take my rider by my side. We can still barrel house, baby, on the riverside." The Led Zeppelin version never mentions barrel housing. Page plays Traveling Riverside Blues in a form of a drop D tuning, taking the first string from an E to a D. For those not technical or don't play much guitar or any at all, the first string would be the skinny one, the highest note, and the sixth string would be the thickest one, the lowest note. Commonly in drop D tuning, you would tune the sixth string from an E. Both strings are in E. You would tune the sixth string from an E to a D, and it kind of allows you to strum to have a bass note in the key of D. But by tuning the first string down to D, what you do is you open up the bottom four strings to an open chord form, which is to say, when you play just those four strings and nothing else, you get a chord. If you put your finger across any fret and play just those four strings, you get a chord, a major chord. This is important on a slide guitar because a slide doesn't have, you can't play fret 1, fret 2, and fret 3 like you can with your fingers. A slide only plays one fret at a time. So by tuning it down, it opens up the first string and includes the first string in your playing when you're using the slide. Quite often a player would use the second, third, fourth string, and that creates a chord all on its own. And even when I played in bands and we would do something like Stuck in the Middle with You that had a little lead solo, a little slide solo in it, I would drop the D, the first string D, and that just gives you an extra string to fool with without really affecting the rest of the guitar. You can play the song pretty comfortably just by excluding the first string, or by raising whatever note you're playing on the first string by two frets. It's not a dramatic difference, and yet you get a dramatic difference on the slide when you can go to that note. So that's a drop D tuning, first string drop to an E to a D. It's the same tuning Jimmy Page used on Dancing Days. It is, my notes suggest, this tuning is sometimes used as a blended tuning between open and standard, and that's more or less what it is. Of all the sessions Zeppelin did for the BBC, the June 24th one is the only one in which the band got to add some overdubs to the songs before broadcast. And if you listen to Traveling Riverside Blues during the solo, you can clearly hear a rhythm guitar. That is an overdub. And it's a cheat. It's not really a live performance, but it's more like a live album. But it is much more like a studio recording, and it is much more like an official kind of recording. Traveling Riverside Blues, and when it came out in the 1990 box set, it was kind of treated like a lost Led Zeppelin track, like a lost studio track almost. Although it was mentioned it was from BBC, it was treated a bit like it was something a little different. Traveling Riverside Blues was released as a CD single in the US in 1990 and reached number 7 on the Billboard chart. And for those of you who don't know what they are, CD singles were just CDs, but they put one song on it instead of 12. They were the same size as a CD, and they charge you like $12 to get a thing. It was such a... You want to know why people steal their music nowadays? CD singles may be the most responsible issue. They literally made it prohibitive. They made it, you know, the CD cost $20, but the CD single cost $12 to $14 for one song. And when people just wanted songs and they became available for free, that's what they did. They said, screw this. CD singles weren't around that long, in large part because nobody would pay the money. Nobody would buy them. All right, Eddie Cochran's Something Else is different from the other three songs mentioned tonight. First, they play the song fairly straightforward. It sounds more or less like the Eddie Cochran version. It's a little rougher, but it's easily recognizable as that song. The lyrics and the music is in line with what Cochran did with the song. It's a straight-up, 3-minute song, and they play it fairly straight-up, in other words. This song was also played more regularly than the other ones. As you heard... A new bootleg I downloaded just 2 days ago of Albert Hall, January 9, 1970 at Albert Hall. A full version of the song is on that. It's not a part of a medley. It's not a snippet. It's the song. They play the song. About 3 or 4 from the end, in fact. It was originally released in July 1959. The Eddie Cochran version was originally released July 1959. It reached number 22 in Britain, 58 on the Billboard Hot 100. Cochran would only release 2 more songs before he died in April 1960 while on tour in Britain. Cochran died in one of the least rock star ways you can imagine, in a car accident while the passenger in a taxi. Taxi blew a tire on an A4. He was 21. And so this song was released about 9 months before his death. The song would also be recorded by the Sex Pistols in 1979 and reached number 3. The Zeppelin version didn't get an official release until the BBC sessions in 1997. It was never released as any kind of a single. So that's it. That's the 4 songs that will appear in the BBC sessions that won't appear anywhere else. And to my mind, they're significant for that. It's significant not in the songs themselves, but in what those songs tell you about the band, about the era, about the music they were playing, and the time they were playing it in. All right, that's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 123. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might have mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. And don't forget, go leave a review, leave a rating, leave a review. It helps other people find us. Listen on Stitcher Radio and on Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. You can download it from I Am Brian Dammit on Podbean and check it out on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 123. Keep it cooling, babies.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.